Welcome to the Successful Farming Daily Podcast for this Monday, May 6th. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. These quick and informative episodes cover the commodity markets, weather, and the big things happening in agriculture each morning, just what you need to start your day. This podcast is brought to you by John Deere. Whether you're looking to buy new or simply upgrade your equipment with new technology, see your local John Deere dealer for what's best for your farm. Corn traded to its highest level since January before heavy farmer selling pushed the July contract back to half-cent gains on Friday. Wheat was up big on worries over worsening weather in Russia and France, and soybeans saw gains as well on ideas of continued rolling strikes in Argentina and production losses in Rio Grande do Sul. At the end of the day, wheat contracts also closed higher. The week ahead is expected to be wet across the heart of the Corn Belt, limiting planting progress for the next several days. Traders across the western Corn Belt claim near historical planting pace has been seen in many parts of that area. Traders in the eastern Corn Belt are reporting that pace can vary greatly from one county to another, with some beginning to get frustrated with the lack of progress, especially with another wet week expected. And after what is expected to be a week with rainfall totals from Iowa to the east in the 1 to 3 inch range, a dry stretch looks to work its way across the country in the next 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlooks from the National Weather Service, with private meteorologists echoing that sentiment. The GFS continues to lean much wetter, keeping the risk of heavy rain in the forecast in its model runs through the next 2 weeks, though many meteorologists say its weather bias has been a problem. Drier weather is expected for Brazil's Rio Grande do Sul as well, after a week of record-setting rainfall caused flooding. Rio Grande do Sul is the second-largest soybean-producing state in Brazil, with the third-largest crush sector, according to Agroinvest, a Brazilian brokerage firm and analytical group. Traders say at least 1.5 million metric tons of soybeans have been lost due to flooding, with others claiming most of the beans still standing will see a significant loss. Dryness across the heart of the country with high temperatures near 100 degrees Fahrenheit is pushing traders to start to trim their yield estimates for the corn crop. The biggest issue at this point when it comes to trying to determine the size of the second corn crop is acreage planted, with CONAB and USA remaining over 10 million metric tons apart from one another on production ideas. Meanwhile, we are still trying to determine the extent of crop loss in Argentina as disease and a less than ideal finish has traders and industry groups that are lowering their expectations. In addition to uncertainty over crop size, we will see another union strike today, this time from the country's transportation unions, with rail and port activity expected to be frozen through at least midday. After the work stoppage today, another is planned for Thursday, with yet another scheduled for different industry groups next week. Argentina's workforce is heavily unionized, with workers angry to see their newly elected president push to lower the threshold for paying income tax, something that would likely impact many members of the unions. While shipment interruptions are not expected at this point, with strikes only lasting several hours, a continuation of intermittent loading issues, or worse yet, an indefinite strike from an important industry group, could push some foreign buying interests back to the U.S. We'll be watching outside markets closely today. Wage growth and employment gains were lower than expected in the month of April, finally giving traders a sign that the Fed's mandate to slow the economy just enough to lower inflation without causing a recession could be back on track. Some are now calling for the September rate hike to be back on the table as a result. We'll also get updated export inspection data this morning, with traders again looking for solid shipments. In addition, eyes will be on the weekly crop progress report coming out at 3 p.m. Central Time this afternoon. In livestock now, cash cattle traded higher for the week last week, with southern cattle gaining $2 and northern cattle increasing $1. June live cattle futures are at a discount to cash as traders remain concerned over the level of demand through May and June. Cattle futures did not rebound as much as anticipated once it was confirmed that the H5N1 virus was not found in ground beef. It is going to take solid demand to turn the trend back up. That was lacking again in boxed beef, with choice up by $1.30 and select down 33 cents. The commitment of traders report showed funds reducing their net long live cattle positions by 640 contracts to a current net long position of 39,473 futures contracts. Funds were net sellers of 172 contracts, reducing their net long positions in feeder cattle to 4,629 contracts. Money managers cut their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn to the lowest levels since the beginning of the year, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held 213,115 futures contracts in corn in the 7 days that ended on April 30th. That's down from 225,943 contracts a week earlier and marks the smallest bearish position since the week that ended on January 2nd. Speculators held a net 141,237 futures contracts in soybeans last week, up from 138,678 a week earlier. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment firms held a net short position of 29,352 contracts in hard red winter wheat. That's down from 47,814 contracts a week earlier and the smallest such position since December 19th. Investors reduced their net shorts in soft red winter wheat to 49,629 futures contracts, down from 75,542 7 days earlier. That's the smallest such position since July 25th. The weekly commitment of traders report from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission shows trader positions in futures markets. The report provides positions held by commercial traders or those using futures to hedge their physical assets, non-commercial traders or money managers, also called large speculators, and non-reportables or small speculators. A net long position indicates more traders are betting on higher prices, while a net short position means more are betting that futures will decline. In weather notes, red flag warnings have been issued for parts of the southern plains while strong winds are forecast for the Dakotas, according to the National Weather Service. Winds in southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles will be sustained from 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts of up to 45 miles per hour in the forecast. Relative humidity will fall as low as 7%. In central South Dakota, in the meantime, winds will range from 20 to 30 miles per hour today and tonight, with gusts of around 50 miles per hour expected. Gusty winds will blow around unsecured objects, according to the agency, and tree limbs could be blown down, and a few power outages may occur. On to the boards we go now. Chicago Board of Trade, we have May corn trading higher, soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil are all trading higher. The front month Chicago Board of Trade wheat contract is trading higher. We have the Kansas City wheat trading higher. The spring wheat is unchanged at the moment. On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, all livestock contracts are trading lower. Crude oil is trading higher. Gold and silver are trading higher. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is trading higher here this morning. That is the Successful Farming Daily Podcast for this Monday, May 6th. I'm Lori Boyer. Read more about this and other agriculture news in the Three Big Things article, which can be found at agriculture.com.